This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello everybody at home and welcome. This is To The Journey. I am your co-host Liam Smart and with me today is...
Zachary Fruling.
Zach, how are you?
Doing great. Been a while.
It has. Oh, we had a little break because we had that massive Borg crossover, which I hope everyone enjoyed. But yeah, and we're back again with another episode. But we're not the only ones here today, are we?
Yes, with us today is our wonderful associate producer, patron, and longtime Trek FM listener, Patrick Carlin. Patrick, welcome to the show. It's been a long time since you and I have had a chance to record together.
It sure has. I think the last time was a round table around a couple years ago.
Oh, wow.
Actually, yeah, it was that Halloween one. That's
right. No, it was the Halloween one we were all on, yeah.
What was that about? I haven't listened to that one.
Spooky Trek.
I'm going to have to go dig that one out. That one's going to sound interesting.
With some great Voyager Spooky Trek moments included.
Haunting of Deck 12.
Yep, that was one I put on there. Yep.
And piles of dismembered Borg.
Do you know, Voyager did do a good job of some of that creepy stuff, actually, didn't it?
It really did, yeah.
So, Patrick, why don't you tell our listeners? I feel like this is the first time we've had you on a main show. So, for those who don't listen to the roundtables, why don't you tell us how you found Star Trek, Trek FM, and what you love about Star Trek Voyager?
Well, Star Trek in general, some of my earliest memories are of watching with my mom when I was probably like 3 or 4 years old. So that's always been one of our biggest bonds her whole life. She recently passed a couple weeks ago. We were able to watch a lot of the new stuff. She liked Picard. The last one that we watched together was the episode of Nepenthe, so that would be a special one to me now. Yeah, so then with Trek FM, I discovered it. It was near the end of 2014 when David Mack was on Literary Trek to talk about his book Disavowed. I saw a post about it on his Facebook and thought, ooh, I should check that out. And I started looking through their list to see like what other ones they'd done on books I'd read. And couple months later, I started doing a deep dive on the Trek FM catalog, and I discovered To The Journey, and I was all in after that.
When was that, Patrick? Out of curiosity, when did you start listening? Do you remember about where we were in the history of To The Journey?
It was a little after episode 100.
Okay. So you had plenty of time with Char and Tristan before you got to Kay and Suzanne and me.
Yeah, it was early 2015, so... Mm-hmm. And when I started marathoning the episodes, I had a lot of time to listen at work, so it took me about a month to go through all
the
episodes.
Did you go back through the back catalog?
Yeah, exactly. And with most podcasts now I listen to, when I get into them, I go in listening order, yeah, but I didn't do it that. Just I was bouncing around all over the place, but I got through all of them, like I said, in about a month.
In about a month? Wow, it took me about a year to go through all of Char and Tristan's ones.
I was binging them as well when I was commuting, and that's how I discovered it. And who knew I'd be hosting To The Journey one day?
And then with Voyager in general, it was like, well, a big part of it was like, that's the first Trek series that I started watching, right from the beginning. Like, I remember a lot of the press and the hype leading up to it, and I just as soon as I started watching, I really felt invested in these characters. I enjoyed them a lot, and I had to see what kept on coming, what was going to happen to the next. And
you know, Patrick, as you were talking, especially when you're talking about your mom, and we're so sorry about your mom, by the way, and it's never a good thing for anyone's mother to pass, so we're sorry about that. But it got me thinking, every time new Star Trek comes out, I actually have a slightly morbid thought about people who don't live long enough to know there's new Star Trek coming out. Like, who knew? Like, you know, there are fans that pass away, and, you know, they passed away before Voyager, or they passed away before Picard. They had no idea that a new series was going to come, and they'll never get to experience. It's kind of a sad, morbid thought, but it's an interesting one. You know, here we are. We're still alive. New Star Trek's happening. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, I've been thinking that, too, especially with something we might be talking about a little bit here.
Exactly.
I think she would have liked that, because I did show her some of that. We didn't watch too much of a Discovery, but I did show her some of the short treks that had Anson Mount in them, and she definitely liked his portrayal of Pike.
I have to admit, I'm really enjoying the short treks. You know, I think in a way they're more creative than the new series that have come out in some ways. But I always like one-off short stories. I like short stories much more than I like long literature. So.
Well, that's because it's got a lot of character stuff in them than just quite simple.
And just weird ideas, you know. Lines. They can do weirder storytelling than you can do in the course of a serialized show or a serialized television season like you get in Picard.
Ephraim and Dot, anyone? I love that one.
I'm sorry, which one?
Oh, Ephraim and Dot, the end. Tardigrade and the Dot droid. I love that one.
I have very mixed thoughts on that episode, on that little short track, just because my brain sometimes tells me that, oh, this is like Tom and Jerry, how irritating. And then sometimes I'm like, this is amazing, I love it. It's just beautiful and well done. So it's, I go all over the place with that one.
Yeah, it's just a little art piece, you know. It's supposed to stand on its own 2 feet. It doesn't have to be.
Plus, also like the punk on the bus from Star Trek IV, Kirk Thatcher narrating it too. I'd love that.
Yeah, that was a nice little touch. So, Patrick, today we're going to be talking about our favorite Tom and Tuvok moments. Now, it was suggested by you that that's what we do, so what made you want to discuss Tom and Tuvok moments today?
Well, that was something I thought of a ways back when, I think it was specifically when I was watching the episode of Future's End, and I just started thinking about, you know, just like all their scenes together, you know, it's going to be entertaining, just because, well, it's like one of the oldest TV tropes. You have two characters with the opposite personalities, you know it's going to be good. Tom especially as one of my favorite characters, just because of the regular guy kind of persona he always had, and then Tuvok, I love his snarkiness all the time. So
I was a little surprised, Patrick, that you suggested this topic, because I don't naturally think of Tom and Tuvok together. They do have some amazing scenes that we're going to talk about, but when I think of, you know, buddy characters in Star Trek or characters that get a lot of screen time together, I don't think of those two. They don't immediately come to mind, and I'm glad you thought to think of that. It's not one I would have picked up on.
Yeah, because most people would talk about Tom and Harry together.
Right, exactly.
Well, when the idea first came to me, at first I thought it would be, you know, kind of a limited field. Yeah, but then just more and more possibilities kept on coming to me. I was like, oh, this could.
Yeah, I only thought of one or two off the top of my head.
All right. Well, before we get into it, we've got a little bit of news to share this morning. Well, this morning for me, this evening for you guys, back in the past. Star Trek Strange New Worlds was announced. What do we think?
I think the title is encouraging. I've been saying for a long time that Star Trek needs to get back to basics and, you know, Strange New Worlds and actually exploring and discovering things. I'm really desperately tired of the Earth's in danger, galaxy's in danger, here's a new bad guy kind of plots. I want actual exploration in Star Trek.
Yeah, do you know what? See, I know, I think in the Borg episode you were saying that as well, and I love, as I've already said, the very big overarching storylines and everything's all convoluted, etc., and goes towards one particular final solution. But do you know what? It would be nice to see just random episodes now and again. And do you know what? I'm slightly more hopeful that we will get something like that now from Strange New Worlds. As long as they don't dress up a Gorn like they did in the original series, that'll be good.
Oh, I'm sure it'd be different.
Yeah. 20. No, somebody will complain about the Gorn, looking different.
Like, one particular hope I've had ever since I first heard about the possibility of a Pike show is to see is that we'd see Dr. Boyce in it, because yeah, I particularly like the relationship we saw that he and Pike had in Episode of the Cage.
God, that's a way back when one, wasn't it?
Well, actually, that was the first scene ever filmed for Star Trek, with that scene of them.
He actually has one of my favorite lines in all of Star Trek, when he says that doctors and bartenders get the same two kinds of customers, the living and the dying.
Do you reckon we'll also get the, I've forgotten the character's name, but in the short Trek, Ask Not. Do you reckon we'll have her as a cadet in engineering?
I'm hoping so. I did like her character, yeah.
That'll be cool.
I think they'd be silly not to. Why not?
She was very well received, that's for sure, in that episode. But yeah, so that's just a little thing that was announced this morning. No big deal, you know?
Well, you know, there's always the danger of just kind of, you know, Chris would describe it as going to the well too many times, but there is a danger of just spreading the franchise a little thin. So, if it's good, it's awesome, you know, if it's...
The other little bit of news, just quickly, Suzanne and I mentioned it a few episodes ago, but Garrett Wong and Robbie Duncan McNeil's podcast, The Delta Flyers, is now airing. Have you both listened to that at all?
I have, yeah.
What do you think?
I'm enjoying it so far. I've got the Patreon stuff too, so I can watch their videos of it and a little bit of extra material. I like one that one of the first ones, I forget, they had the guy, what's his name, Dan Curry, on there. I talked with him a little bit. And
oh, really?
Yeah, and then the one for Parallax, they had a little in the extra material, they had Robert Picardo on there for a couple of minutes.
That's right. Yeah, they were on the bonus podcast bit as well, a little bit from Bob Picardo. And yeah, no, it's just quite funny, especially how they go through the bit where it's like, what do you remember? And Robbie Duncan McNeil's like, yeah, I don't remember anything.
Well, they have such a different perspective on it. You know, we see the finished product. They don't necessarily have the same relation to the finished product that we do. So
just hearing all about the call sheet and how the Doctor was supposed to be the least used, and going on about the way they were told off for not shaking properly. And then obviously we got Robbie Duncan McNeil, who is now a director, and he's giving sort of his director's opinions on things as
like
well.
One thing I remember him saying was how Kirk Picard was like the only one who was given like leeway to ad-lib his lines. We're like the rest of them. If they added on anything, like, no, stop, don't do that.
There is a the there. You must say the.
It's the Voyager. Yeah.
That one did not stick around. The Voyager. Yeah. Nope.
Yeah, that was terrible. I'm glad it didn't stick around. All right. So shall we get into the meat of this episode? Our top Tom and Tuvok moments. Now, what we'll do is we'll do our top threes. So why don't you kick us off, Patrick? What is your top Tom and Tuvok moment?
Well, I don't really have them in any particular order, but I decided to start with one from Future's End, as that was the episode that gave me the idea in the first place. Now, there's a lot with them in those episodes, but I decided to go specifically with one from Part 1 when they first get to the observatory. We see them get out of the truck and they're walking in. Perhaps we should find a more secluded parking place. This is, after all, a stolen vehicle. Nobody's around, Tuvok. We're fine. A taxi cab would have been less worrisome and more ethical. We haven't stolen anything, we borrowed a car, and we return it to the dealership as soon as we're done. I was referring to the ethics of time travel. Somehow, I doubt that taking a test drive is going to alter the course of the universe.
Doesn't Tom know his butterfly effect, you know?
Yeah, that did occur to me, yeah.
Yeah, Tom and Tuvok, as we'll know throughout this whole episode, they've got some nice little one-liners between each other. They play off each other really well, and that's just a good example of it.
Well, he Tuvok takes a good third-person perspective on Tom and Rain, right? he can kind of comment on it.
The Freakosaurus thing as well.
Yeah.
As he's watching them, yeah, reading all the movie stuff, he's like, they appear to be bonding on a cross-cultural level.
I didn't even think about Future's End, actually. I can't believe I forgot about that.
You know, I didn't either. I'm embarrassed I didn't think of that episode. Yeah. I was thinking about Tom and Tuvok moments.
I had some really weird ones come to mind, but of course Future's End is blatantly obvious. It's like, don't be such a Freakosaurus, God. So my first one is from Bride of Chaotica. Because Bride of Chaotica has some absolute hilarious lines for pretty much all the characters. And you can tell that in the briefing room, how Chakotay can barely keep his face serious, or should I say Robert Beltran, because it would have been absolutely hilarious to be in that room when that was recording. But my probably the most favorite part of that episode is when they first walk onto the planet, or not the planet, sorry, the holodeck, Planet X. After walking through and seeing Constance Goodheart, Tuvok is, you can tell in Tuvok's face that there's some kind of relationship that he's thinking about. It's like, are these two, you know, what's going on here? And then when Satan's robot comes around and Tom says that, oh, it's Satan's robot, Tuvok goes absolutely deadpan, naturally. It's just like, you can tell there's so much disdain towards of the whole program. And I mean, there's so many little lines in that. It's like when Tom goes, oh, I'm going to check my rocket ship. And he just goes, excuse me?
I have to say, this is the kind of thing I love that Voyager just seems to do so much better than other Star Trek series. Voyager delves into the ridiculous in ways that other Star Trek series just can't get away with.
This is absolute ridiculous, this episode, and it's perfect.
And that's why it's one of my favorite episodes, because it's, everything about it is just so over the top. Everyone gets to ham it up and just have an absolute blast.
I know. And there's some other ones in there that I don't know whether you've got any other Brighter Chaotica references. Have you, Patrick? Or
I do.
Okay, I'll leave my other ones that I've got in here for Brighter Chaotica, because there's absolutely so many. But it's almost like he is, or Tuvok is, condescending towards Tom's creation and even impatient. You know, which is amusing when you consider what Tom and Tuvok go through in worst case scenario about writing episodes on the holodeck. Why don't you give us your one pick?
Yeah, I only have one. I'm embarrassed I couldn't think of any more. I wish I had time to be more thorough than that. Gravity came to mind. I love the whole episode's great. You know me, I'm a romantic, so, you know, Vulcan love story, I'm all over it. So it's like Borg love stories, I'm all over that too. I like the scene on the rocks, you know, it's like, you, me, and the rocks, Tuvok, you know, just tell me the scoop. And really, you don't, usually Tom is not the person to give advice. In the first, I would say half of Voyager, Tom is the screw up, right? He's the one who needs advice. And now Tom is finally in a position to give some advice and be the older, not older, but wiser person about all things romantic and love. And Tuvok really needs some advice here on how to deal with the situation. He's not, you know, it's not a situation Tuvok knows how to deal with very well. And Tom can finally be the mentor to Tuvok. And usually, and not like Tom accepts advice very well either, honestly. But, you know, if anyone's going to give advice, it's going to be Tuvok. And if anyone needs advice, it's Tom. It's fun to see that those roles reversed in this episode.
And also just the fact that Tuvok was willing to open up like he did in that scene shows that in spite of their like semi antagonistic relationship, there is a matter of respect and trust there.
You can see Tuvok struggling so much with his emotions, especially considering what he went through with the Jara in the past and the Torellian lady. So for Tom, who is the, you know, the supposed ladies' man. I mean, he says in the Delta, like Robbie Duncan Mitchell says in the Delta Flyers podcast, that he doesn't really like the way that he portrayed the whole ladies' man idea. For that advice to be imparted onto Tuvok, it is surprising, and it's also really good to see, to show that Tuvok is struggling with emotions in a way that we don't normally see Vulcans struggle with emotions. We normally see them struggle in some kind of ridiculous, over-the-top manner, whereas this is really trying to contain it and really quite raw.
And Tom cuts right to it. You know, he says, I see the way you look at her. And Tuvok says, how do I look at her? And, you know, Tom says, like someone who wishes he wasn't Vulcan. Tom gets right to the heart of it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've always liked about Tom's character, is he just gets right down to the basics of the matter.
There was a particular line in this scene as well. I'm just trying to remember what it was.
While you're finding that, I actually had an epiphany that the actress that played Nos was in A League of Their Own, which I didn't make the connection. We watched A League of Their Own last night, and I was like, oh, that's the actress that played Nos. Wow.
Laurie Petty?
Yeah, Laurie Petty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's also in Orange is the New Black. She's an amazing actress. I loved her as Nos. Yeah, you know, Kate Mulgrew's in Orange is the New Black as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I think it's an acquired taste. I got a little bit over it come the end. Anyway, the line that's in Gravity that I really enjoyed was, there is no easy way to recover from infatuation.
Truth.
because we all know that love can make you insane, and absolutely, I can't think of a better way to describe it. Especially when Tuvok says that he lost all sense of who he was and that the emotional attraction he felt for the Trelian lady became some kind of insanity.
I quite enjoyed seeing young Tuvok.
Yeah, that kid was really good at playing him, yeah.
Yeah.
And also that Vulcan master played by Joseph Ruskin, who's played a whole bunch of roles in Star Trek.
It's been a while since I've seen Gravity, actually, and I was playing little bits of it last night.
Oh, I thought that was Jeffrey Combs.
I mean, if in...
Just kidding.
I mean, if there's an alien species, if in doubt, call him Jeffrey Combs. All right, Patrick, why don't you fire away with your next one?
Okay. Well, since you mentioned Brada Chaotica in your last round, I'll pull up one I have. When Tom and Tuvok are on the rocket ship, and Tom's reading off the telegram. These are your sensor readings. Telegram. It's a message to Captain Proton from the President of Earth. Intercepted communication between Dr. Chaotica and Arachnia. Stop. Chaotica or enemies from fifth dimension. Stop. Must strike now to disable Death Ray. And then throughout the whole thing, we see Tuvok just getting more and more visibly irritated. So he finally says, "Stop. Please summarize the message."
Yeah, and I think this is the thing that Tim Russ does so well. Like, he knows how to do Vulcan stoicism, but he knows how to read so much sarcasm into it while saying everything that a Vulcan would say.
And you can just read it on his face as well. Tim Russ does Vulcan really well. And then at the end of that particular scene you talk about, Patrick, when there's an intruder in the rocket ship, two of us like, I assume there's no locking mechanism on the hatch.
It was a simpler time, yeah.
it was so funny. Brada Chaotica is such a great episode for that. And even in the that bridge room scene that I was talking about earlier with Janeway and Tuvok, Seven and Chakotay, you can just see that whole time he's just sitting there with that just, why are we even discussing this? Why is this even a thing?
Exactly.
Why is this even a thing? He just sits there just like, I have so much hatred towards what's happening right now, but he obviously doesn't feel emotions.
But. Not related to Tom and Tuvok, but also loving the next scene when that alien comes onto the ship and then Satan's robot is like, invader, invader, and then Tom whacks him with the phaser. Quiet.
It's like, invader, invader.
Also, I do really like the fun fact that the actor who plays that background guy, Ayala, is the one in the Satan's robot outfit.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So good.
I did not know that.
My partner really dislikes Brada Chaotica for some reason, and I don't understand why, because it is amazing.
Yeah, it's always been one of my favorite episodes. I mean, anytime I need a mood lifter, that's one of my go-tos.
Exactly.
It's just so wacky and fun. How could you not like it?
All right, so my next one, because Zach's on the ledge where Tuvok's medicating in gravity, that was one of my picks, so I'm going to move on to my third one, which was from the episode Lineage.
That's one of mine too. Yep.
Tom and Tuvok are talking in the Jefferies tube about Tom becoming a dad.
Very good. Good pick.
I cannot honestly say what it's like to be a dad. One, I'm 30, so I don't have a kid. And two, I can't physically make a kid with Jordan, but that's a different matter. But it's just nice to see where Tom is like, doesn't take advice from people, but he's actively going out to see someone that he knows who is a father, who knows that what it's like to raise a child, albeit Vulcan. You know, it's just a cool little scene, especially when Tuvok's like, oh, I'm afraid my parenting skills are somewhat dormant. It has been many years since my children were young. And Paris is like, well, they've had a long time to think back on it. It's sort of a really calming scene between two characters that don't normally have that kind of scene together.
Yeah, and then I like how Tom says, really long time to think back on any helpful hints, and he says, well, offspring can be disturbingly illogical, yet profoundly fulfilling. You should anticipate paradox.
Truth. Again, truth from Voyager.
I mean, from looking after my niece and nephew, I cannot understand how people could come parents. I'll lose my mind. Because, I mean, Zach, you've got, is it Chloe, isn't it?
Yeah, and as someone who stepped into the role later in life, it's it can be daunting, but profoundly fulfilling in ways I was not expecting.
Mm-hmm. I can't watch episodes like Real Life without bawling my eyes out, and I don't have a kid. So I can't imagine what that would be like for someone who has a kid, for example. Anyway, that was my pick. It's sort of like a pretty cool pick for something that we don't normally see Tuvok and Tom do.
Yes, I think Tuvok is correct. You should anticipate paradox. Yes. Well, this is the scene you would expect from Tom and Tuvok, right? Tuvok giving Tom advice.
Exactly, yeah.
Sort of a little different view on their relationship.
Who does Tom go to for advice? Does he go to anyone for advice, really?
I don't think he really seeks advice. Like you said earlier, really. He's not one to seek out advice that often. And if he were to seek advice, it would probably end up being from B'Elanna or Harry, usually. But, I mean, Tuvok is obviously in the position of having children. So, I think he's been to Chakotay for advice before, and I guess...
Yeah, I think it's specifically what episode, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
But you're right, Tom's pretty self-sufficient that way. He doesn't, you know, for better or for worse, he doesn't seek out advice.
Zach, have you thought of any other picks, or shall we move?
No, let's move on. I'm sure Patrick has more than enough to fill the episode. Yeah, I'm embarrassed that I can't think of more off the top of my head. I just, you know, for some reason, I didn't mentally pair up Tom and Tuvok together, even though they've got a couple scenes. Nothing is coming immediately to mind, and I didn't have time to rewatch the whole series searching for them. So,
okay, go for it, Patrick. What's another one you got?
Well, you mentioned worst case scenario earlier. I've got one from there too. That's another of my favorite episodes because I love holodeck stuff and I love Seska. So,
yes, Seska fan.
And this episode, in my opinion, is Seska at her best. So,
yes, I agree.
So, okay, so this is the scene, yeah, right when they start running from her. I'm sure she shoes them all the transport room, so they're in the corridor running. And you're like, you should never have crossed her, Tuvok. She has been dead for over a year now. There would have been no way to predict the stern of events. Guess we should have known Seska and let a little thing like that stop her from getting even.
Yeah, that's some good banter.
I was surprised, actually, because I was, like, plowing through it last night, just picking out the scenes that I remember from there. I was surprised that Seska only appears in the last maybe third of the show, in terms of, like, the actual issue, if you know what I mean, like the takeover from the holodeck. But I agree, it's a very good Seska.
I did like that scene, you know, when Tom first comes in, when B'Elanna's running the program, he's like, well, I expected to find you shooting pool at Sandrine's, not hanging out with Seska.
See, I picked out a couple of different ones from Worst Case Scenario. I think my favorite one from Worst Case Scenario is when they were talking in the mess hall about the Vulcan dictates of logic, or Vulcan dictates of poetics, sorry. I thought that was funny, especially when Tuvok goes, I would hardly call Mr. Paris's ideas artistic. I mean, that whole scene is hilarious. It's like, as soon as it starts, it's like, well, if it isn't Mr. Anonymous, come to check up on your replacement.
I'd like to compare the Vulcan take on poetics with Aristotle's take on poetics. But
that sounds like you could probably find some of it.
Probably. Sounds like a Metatrix episode in the making.
Logic is an integral part of narrative structure. According to the dictates of poetics by Thane of Vulcan, a character's actions must flow inexorably from his or her established traits. Pile out a Metatrix episode on that.
It sounds almost verbatim like Aristotle, actually.
Oh, really? I have no idea what the Aristotle one is. So,
well, Aristotle basically thought, I mean, the whole idea of dramatic progression kind of comes from Aristotle, that you have conflict and then some sort of crisis that you have to resolve, and then the cathartic release and, you know, and resolution of that tension in the course of the drama. You know, that comes from Aristotle. But this notion that we have kind of an inner nature, for Aristotle, was more of a species nature, but, you know, the kind of, you know, ourselves as rational beings, you know, the phrase rational animals comes from Aristotle. So sounds like, you know, the Vulcans just ripped off Aristotle, and there's nothing new there.
Why not? They probably did. But yeah, like the whole scene, and then when B'Elanna comes up and Neelix wants to offer his suggestions, it's just like Tuvok's like, this is my program kind of attitude.
Yeah, I love that Tuvok doesn't really want any help with this program. Like, this is my program. You wouldn't expect Tuvok to get all defensive about his program, but...
It's like, Zach, you are probably Torres in this scene, because Torres goes, listen, I don't know which one of you is writing this thing, but all I'm saying is that there is room in every good story for a little bit of passion.
Yes. I love Tom's response to that, too. You know, maybe you're onto something. I could add a steamy love scene between the Starfleet con officer and the Maquis engineer. Yeah. Oh, that's realistic, she says, yeah. Like, oh, that's realistic. I love her response to that, too.
Again, it's one of those wonderful episodes where there's a lot of banter between the two. And that's, like, why I said lineage is such a breath of fresh air. Well, not necessarily a breath of fresh air, because Tuvok and Tom's relationship isn't bad, but it's just different, which is why it's probably a little bit more powerful than it probably would have been if it was any other character. The lineage thing, that is. I do have another little scene from Worst Case Scenario, which is out of my honourable mentions. That was when Tuvok goes, "We cannot proceed without a carefully constructed outline."
Yeah, okay, this is interesting, because there's two opinions on this. Like, some people are outliners, you know, they can't get started writing without an outline. And other people are like, no, I'll clean it up later. I just need to dive in and get the words out. And Tuvok is clearly an outliner.
Yeah, I'm very much like Tuvok. I like things done efficiently and just in order, etc.
I like to just dive in and do it. Yeah. See, like when I'm teaching, for example, I have like 5 bullet points written down on a notepad, like for an hour and a half class.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't do notes. I don't do outlines. I don't do that.
Mm-mm. I've got four pages of notes just for this podcast.
Right. And see, that speaks a lot to our stylistic differences. Yeah.
But yeah, that scene when they're walking through the corridor, talking about the carefully constructed outline compared to Paris's just go with the flow style attitude, that sort of just was amusing to me.
See, I actually kind of figure teaching and podcasting they have something in common. We have a captive audience, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're recording. No one's going to tell us what we can and can't say. Well, I'm teaching. No one's going to tell me what I can and can't say. So my podium.
Well, as Tuvok would say, you're exercising your prerogative as the original author of the content you're delivering.
Yes.
And that's how Tuvok finally wins, too. He's like, I don't need any help. It's like, well, you may find that difficult since I'm the only one who can make additions to the program.
Yeah, exactly. It's like smug, sarcastic.
You have not been given edit access in Space Google Docs. Yes.
What are some of your other ones that you've got down there? Your honorable
mentions? Well, I do have, I've got 3. One's another one from Future Zen. Actually, that's actually just a couple minutes after the previous one. When they're leaving the observatory. I'm curious, Lieutenant. What does it mean? Groovy. Then the episode Muse, when Tuvok falls asleep on the bridge. Falls asleep in the captain's chair, and then First we see Tom at the helm, and he hears the snoring noise. He starts to look around like, what is that? And then he looks around, and he looks back at the chair, and he sees Tuvok out cold, and he's... It was a moment of him trying very hard not to laugh, and then he's like, Tuvok, man. Tuvok, and then he's like, as you were.
Tom's trying to help him out. You don't want the bridge crew to see his sleep in the captain's chair, so Tom's trying to help him out by waking him up. It's good for his image. You know?
I'm interested, Patrick. Did you just remember that scene from Muse off the top of your head? Because I find Muse is one of those episodes that most people tend to just forget about.
Oh, I love that episode.
I mean, it's a great episode, but it's not like the whole Year of Hell, timeless, you know, big, wonderful, massive episodes.
See, that particular episode has been one of my favorites. And I kind of rediscovered it a couple years ago after some way or another I forgot about it. But actually for quite a while, I can never remember like what episode that particular scene was from. And then when I was watching it and it got to that, and I was like, oh, right, that's in this episode.
Well, the reason I love that episode, it's basically Odysseus on the journey home, right? Voyager is an epic journey. It's the story of a journey home. And, in the Odyssey, Odysseus takes 20 years to get home. For Voyager, it takes 75 years to get home. And it's fun to see the story of Voyager told as an epic poem.
And then I've got one more honorable mention. It's a moment from Gravity. It's just the closing scene in the transporter room when they're all saying their goodbyes, and then... Tom knows that Tuvok and Nos need their private moment together. So when he and Neelix leave, he takes a transporter operator along with them. So I thought that was a nice little gesture.
Tom is savvy that way.
I got another little moment from Gravity, actually.
Really? What do you got?
I might just read it out because it probably has a little bit more.
Should we act it out? We can assign roles. Who's going to play Nos? Who's going to play Tom? Who's going to play...
It's just Tuvok. Between Tuvok and Paris, this one.
Okay, so who's who here?
I'll be Tuvok.
Okay.
You want to go for it, Patrick? Moment in the sun. Here you go. Cup of coffee in the big time.
Tuvok, weird day.
Problems?
I've spent the last 2 months wondering if I'd ever see B'Elanna again. As far as she's concerned, it's only been 2 days. I guess it expected her to have missed me, too.
Were it not for the time differential, I'm sure she would have experienced a deep sense of loss.
You know something? I always thought that beneath that cold Vulcan exterior lay an even colder Vulcan exterior. I'm convinced you're a hopeless romantic.
There is no need to insult me, Mr. Paris. I just love that because it's like, ah, you are a little sweetheart beneath all that Vulcan exterior. So that was my little thing from Gravity. And the only other little honorable mention I had was from a very split-second thing in Tinker Den at Dr. Spy, when Tuvok's crying at the Doctor singing that operatic song, which I know is very famous, but I don't know the name of it, before he gets his pomfar.
La Donna Immobile.
Yeah, that one. And then Tom is like, what? Tuvok? I just thought that was a little funny because it's like, has to be Tom to see that because of the comedy of it.
I love that whole scene.
Oh, Tuvok, I understand. You are a Vulcan man.
I sing along with the Doctor every time I watch that episode.
Me too. It's so good. Have you got any more honorable mentions?
Oh, that was it.
Yeah, there really aren't that many moments. That was more than I thought we would come up with, honestly.
Yeah, so there's... I mean, it's because Tom and Tuvok aren't the main characters that get paired together. I mean, Tom's normally paired with Paris, and Tuvok... Who would you say Tuvok's normally paired with? It's probably Janeway or Neelix, really.
He's not paired with anyone. Tuvok rides solo.
Solo Vulcan. And when he is with Tom, it's generally mostly for comedy purposes.
It's Tuvok and Neelix who are paired together.
I would say so, yeah. More so than often. Good to meet you.
Like you were mentioning about Tuvok and Janeway, though, like one of my favorites, my actual favorite snarky Tuvok moment is when he has with Janeway in the episode Scientific Method. You know, shall I flog them as well?
It's the one-liners that come out of Vulcans are often great.
I really think Tuvok did a better Vulcan than Leonard Nimoy, honestly, in some ways. You know, he was able to capture everything Leonard Nimoy conveyed, but I don't know. It's like more Vulcan and yet also more emotional all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And who said Vulcans don't do funny?
Exactly, yeah. Like, there's one thing I saw somewhere. It's like about what you just said. Leonard Nimoy invented what it was to be Vulcan. Tim Russ perfected it.
Do you know what? I can get behind that. So it's interesting, some of the episodes that have come out there: Future's End, Bride of Chaotica, Gravity, Lineage, Worst Case Scenario, Muse, and Tinker Tenor, Dr. Spy. A little eclectic mix of episodes there. Do we have any final thoughts on Tom and Tuvok relationship or not?
Just that it was a really great pick, Patrick. That was I'm so glad you picked the topic. I wish I could find more episodes, but I'd almost forgotten how funny Tom and Tuvok were together.
I just actually, another one just occurred to me is in the episode, I think it's Revulsion, when they're having that promotion ceremony for Tuvok. And there's that scene, where Tom and Harry are telling that prank they pulled on him. And then then when Tuvok is like, well, had I known this ceremony entailed ritual humiliation, I might have declined. Over my 3 years on this ship, I've...
Declining the ritual humiliation is not an option. Yeah.
Pointedly at Tom and Harry, I have learned to tolerate.
So funny. It's been fun talking about Tom and Tuvok moments today, but this isn't the only thing we've been discussing on the network. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, Primitive Culture, a look at history and culture through Star Trek.
I think it's interesting that the show keeps kind of bringing up these associations, even if it's just in the naming of a planet or something, you know, and again, sort of grounding it in our own history and our own culture and our own world to some extent. Although I think a lot of people, when at the end of The Impossible Box, when Picard says, send us to Nepenthe, and it was all in this kind of rather, a lot of drama and noise and stuff going on, a lot of people thought they were ending up in the, you know, Klingon gulag. And it's a good job that Hugh heard him correctly, you know, and sent him to the right planet, because otherwise that could have been a whole different episode.
Earl Grey.
And sort of the reason behind it and why it's necessary. And so I would, of course, keep this scene in.
I would too. I like Troy here. I think it would have been better if he got back to his quarters and he was so frustrated that he broke a table and then Troy arrived. That would, like... That would have made it perfect.
Cue Troy, yes.
Exactly. But nevertheless, she still arrives even though a table hasn't been broken.
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
Anyway, our space whale is coming on the scene now. So they get to the bridge and it's yellow alert. It's a space whale. Burnham identifies it and explains that it's on the endangered species list and that they need to transport it to a sanctuary. And so Lorca's like, fine, just whatever. So,
I mean, it's one of these points now that you sort of kind of think that looking back on it, knowing we know he's from the Mirror Universe, they would not have had that kind of regulation in the Mirror Universe.
Yeah.
True.
So you can sort of, one of those little peppered things where it's like, yeah, he's not what he seems. Mm-hmm.
To the journey!
What do you reckon of this episode, Joe?
See the way you feel about Hugh and Iborg, I feel about One.
Do you think One's cute?
What? There's something about One. He's like Hunky Borg.
Hunky Borg.
No, seriously, there's something big and robust about him. Yeah, I definitely do that.
But cat suits are a problem.
Yeah, I don't go in for boobs so much, so... I like my Hunky Borg dudes.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, or Apple TV, or the desktop podcast app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. It really does help us find more listeners. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, in most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the search field on Facebook and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose message to a Trek FM show and select To The Journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek FM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Now, Patrick, thank you so much for coming on To The Journey with us and giving us a topic that I never thought we'd end up doing. Never thought of Tom and Tuvok moments. So, yeah, where can people find you online?
We can find me in the Babel Conference. I'm in there a lot commenting on a lot of the various show posts, and also Twitter and Instagram. I'm PJC4774.
So, Zach, when you're not comparing the Vulcan Dictates of Logic to Aristotle's version, where can people find you online?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's Trek FM show dedicated to Star Trek and philosophy. And you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Frueling. And how about you, Liam? When you're not hanging out with Satan's Robot, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Satan's Robot is my best friend. So when I'm not here, you can also find me on The Edge, Trek FM's dedicated Star Trek Discovery podcast with Brandy and Nick. You can also find me in the Babel Conference and on Twitter at LS74656. So if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, you can become a patron of the network on Patreon. You can visit patreon.com/trekfm, that is patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. You can gain a producer credit for To The Journey, like Patrick has, as well as any of our other Trek FM shows and more, available through our special patrons website, Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you can find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. We'd like to thank our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, I don't know who that is.
And yeah, some guy, Patrick, did you know that one of our associate producers has your exact name?
Wow, that's a coincidence.
Ooh.
What a coincidence.
And Norman Lau. Join us next week on To The Journey, where we'll be having a very special episode. But until then, this has been To The Journey. Tom has like some snarky, oh, a cat, oh, it's so cute.